Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. And if this is your first Geekscape, well, where have you been since like 2006? Have you been listening to the feed? How many of y'all are original subscribers from back in the day? I got to tell you, I've been doing a lot of work in the storage unit. Some of y'all saw on social media the photo I posted of my comic book collection. That's two-thirds of my comic book collection all collected in a brand new storage unit. And it's psycho. I don't know what to do with them. I will take any suggestions from anybody who has experience selling off their comic book collections. Am I selling off my comic collections? I don't know, but I'd like to be ready to pivot if need be. I will tell you what, there are close to 80 boxes of comics in that storage unit. I've got more comics than some of the stores here in Los Angeles. That being said, am I ever going to reread them? Maybe, maybe not. But you guys saw the photos. Some of y'all said it looked like Mar-a-Lago. I called it Nerd-a-Lago because it looks like, I mean, I'm not keeping them in legal boxes like the Mar-a-Lago documents. They are in proper comic boxes, bagged and boarded. But there's a lot of them, and I honestly don't know what to do with them. Some of you watching on Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube might be thinking, hey, wait, where is The Office? Well, The Office is filled with pots and pans. If you are here in Southern California, or you've been watching the news, you know we've been getting torrential rains and floods. So in The Office, there are like pots and pans all over the ground because we got a leak, and we found it, and we put the pots and pans down, and then the leak was like, I think I'm going to go over here and over here. Trust me, the landlords have been like made aware of the leak. The famous ones here in the hallway. Which is great when your boy has insomnia and he goes to the couch in the middle of the night to read some comics. What do I got here by the bed, by the couch? I got this one. Y'all read this? Do a power bomb. This one's great. Daniel Warren Johnson. I've been reading that one again. And your boy is stepping into pots half full of water in the middle of the night, not watching. I mean, the floods are real here in Southern California, and I hope you all stayed safe. I actually ventured out in it last night. The Santa Fe International Film Festival had like an LA alumni screening, and they played my short again from a few years ago, my old short El Rey, which you guys were a part of. It we shot it way back in 2006. It actually predates Geekscape by a few months. Shot the short, started doing projects for other companies. The short sat on a hard drive until 2020, when we all sat in a pandemic and nobody was really doing anything. So I brushed off the hard drive, put it in there, and there we go. We finished the movie, put it out in 2022, and it is a trip to see something that some of the scenes we shot in 2022, and in like a cut, you go from 2006 to 2021, and it's just awesome. The magic of film, and it's cool that the audience still likes it, that people still want to play it. Another side effect, though, of going out in the rain, in the cold, is maybe you're hearing my voice and you're like, well, it doesn't sound too good. Nah, whatever. It's really green outside in Los Angeles, but that also means that whatever is blooming and kicking up those allergies, I think I described it when I was off camera, so I might as well give it to you. It feels like a Swamp Thing has been trying to impregnate my face with pollen. And I am so completely allergic to whatever's out there. So I've been taking stuff and it has just got me wrecked. I'm feeling good though, because I took some medication. We got a pretty good show for you. I got two DJs here. I'm not even going to try and pronounce my Cuban friend. He's on there. But you guys remember DJ Wooldridge? He was on the show a few months ago. He was awesome. And if you don't know his podcast, you should. I love hearing this guy talk opinions about the latest news, interviews, and pop culture stuff. And he brought along his friend. I'm going to go for it. Daniel. Leyva, who is an actor in this brand new project they got called Gunplay. You can kickstart it. It's a three-part kind of triptych short film. They all intertwine. Three short films, they all intertwine, and it's up on Kickstarter. It's got some proof of concept footage you can see on there. It's got a lot of incentives. We're going to talk our way through making that kind of Pulp Fiction crime style short piece. It's going to be a full film. You put three shorts together, if it's over 80 minutes, that's longer than Dumbo. It's a feature film. We're going to talk about that when we get back. I hope you guys are awesome. Let's play the credits. And if you guys are watching live, drop it in the comments, okay? Let's do some Geekscape. Awesome Geekscapists, here we are with a brand new Geekscape. We got the double DJs waiting in the wings to talk about Gunplay, their brand new series of short films that you can help kickstart. Got to tell you, when your mom told you not to go playing in the rain, she was serious. You're going to catch a cold. Is that what she said? Yeah, we should have listened, because yesterday when I went out and played in the rain to go see my film, it was crazy how many people actually came out in the rain to see those short screen. Was it worth it? I don't know. It's always good to see people watch your stuff. But dang, did I wake up this morning like, rah. And this weekend, I actually, my friend Kevin McCaffrey was in town. You guys are like, what? He did a Geekscape years ago. He was my co-host in college radio. Yeah, I've been doing this since 1997. Why would a nationally recognized radio station like WXPN put teenagers on the airwaves? I don't know, but they did, and we abused it, and it was so good seeing Kevin again. He's thinking about moving back to the States, and I can't wait for him to move back to the States, and maybe we'll collaborate again. I was this old when I did college radio. Here I am. If you're watching this, I'm holding up a picture that I found in my re-tetrising of The Office and trying to get things from harm's way, not get rain on it. And I found this picture of me, a little Mexican boy right there with the buck teeth. Yeah, if you're listening on audio, too bad you don't get to enjoy that. But the one thing I do want to ask you guys watching on live real quick is, we have like three Facebook streams going right now. There's the one going to my personal page. There's the one going to Geekscape Forever. It's a group. And then there's one going to the Geekscape page. Which one do you watch on? If I were to consolidate the Facebook live stuff, which one should I snip? Right? Like I work for the TVA and Loki, and I'm going to snip one of the realities. Which of the Facebook lives should I get rid of? What do you watch this on? If you're watching on Facebook, which one do you watch this on? And how do I slowly herd y'all into one Facebook stream so that, I don't know, so you guys can hang out better and, you know, talk to each other. I like the Facebook Forever group. The Geekscape Forever group on Facebook. That's what I like. All right. Enough of the business. Let's talk to my boys, DJ One, that's DJ Woolridge. Whoa. And DJ Numero Dos, that's
Hey-o.
Daniel, which I didn't get that right either. You say it. I dare you to say your own name.
Daniel Leyva. That's way
I just impersonated you. That's all I did.
Then just do that then the whole time and you'll
Daniel chat, Leyva. You know? But you gotta be like Daniel Leyva. You gotta say it like you're demanding something of somebody. Like you're putting a finger in their chest.
Yeah.
Because if you say it like, oh, you know my friend, like, oh, you say it casually, oh, my friend Daniel Leyva. You like have to change affect to say it properly.
You'll get a that every time you talk to somebody about me, but you know.
They'll be like, who are you talking about? And I'll be like, oh, you know my friend, Daniel Leyva.
Yeah, he's great.
Like you're grabbing him by the collar and shaking money out of him.
Yeah.
Daniel Leyva. But you go usually go as DJ, and but now you can't go as DJ. Why? Because DJ Wooldridge is directing this this piece, the Gunplay.
Our amazing writer director is he goes by DJ. So
once we get on set, we'll fight about it. We'll have a you know, we'll arm wrestle.
No. There's too much going on at set. Don't come on, guys. Like, you know, when you get on set, it's all about focus, it's all about having the team together.
Okay, when I have everybody refer to me as Mr. Director.
Don't do that.
Here's everything up.
This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna settle it here. Who wants the D and who wants the J? One of you guys get the D and one of you guys get the J, and both of you guys are like, I don't want the D. No, you both want the D. Who gets it? One of you guys is D and one of you guys is J, and I think that settles it.
I think we need to do one of those like Dragon Ball Z fusion dance. And just
all right, we got time.
I see our brains were thinking in two. I was thinking of like the you know the little
The little thing that the little folding thing where you say which my mommy's and you exactly. go back and forth
whoever,
thing.
And whoever picks, that's what we get. But I like so much better the DBZ fusion dance.
Okay. I think we do that and let us know how it goes.
Yeah. The only issue with that is that we're going to need a couple platforms for me because DJ 1 is like 7'12" and DJ 2 is like 4'8". So like the height, you know, it'd be really, I'd be like reaching way up and he'll be like down, but we got it.
Daniel, you were, I'm trying to say it with force. You're not a tall person. How tall are you?
5'8".
In reality. You're 5'8", so it's not bad. I mean, but you're an Olympic gymnast.
Yeah.
And are most Olympic gymnasts, I mean, we've seen them in the female competition, we've seen them in the male competition, but always the cameras, always, you know, are they regularly a little shorter than average? Or I mean, I wouldn't call you shorter than average, but like...
Yeah, I mean, I would call me shorter than average. Here's the thing. I was of the taller people. So I went to two Olympics. In 2012, I was like by far the tallest. And then 2016.
Representing the U.S. or Cuba? Yeah, you have dual citizenship or?
No. Just.
Does that exist? Because they hate each other.
For sure. Okay. Because they hate each other.
Famously.
Because communism. Okay. So, well, I mean, well, I know that my friends who have gone as U.S. citizens to Cuba did it as students and they had to like do this and that to go to Cuba. But. You went as a U.S. Olympian.
Yeah.
To two Olympics.
Yeah.
And you were one of the taller people.
Yeah.
And like of the states, of the United States, or like period? Were you just like walking around the locker room being like, what's up, shorty?
I mean, amongst the gymnastics community, I am, you know, of the taller guys. There's people who are still taller than me, of course.
Sure.
You know, they're regular human size. I was like, wow. And then when I went into the real world, especially acting, especially like doing like commercial acting, when you get called there, and it's like very much like La La Land when you walk in and like everybody's taller and hotter than you. I had so many of that. I was like, oh, cool. Okay. So I got it.
Mm-hmm. Right. But now when was that you went from, because I'm guessing like, talk to me, because I just read that story on Mary Lou Retton and how she couldn't afford health insurance. Did you hear that story? Mary Lou Retton was straight up on a Wheaties box. She was like the girl next door in the 80s. She was the face of American gymnastics. And then you hear a story recently that she had to, like, she couldn't pay for health insurance and she was starting to have medical issues later. And, you know, I mean, she's in her 50s, 60s now. And like, she was having issues. She got through divorce, this and that. Like, some stuff took her money. But holy crap. How was that transition to acting?
I mean, I think that the interesting part is that like now in this new era of, I guess, social media and how it has been kind of like intertwined with essentially everything, but especially sports, there is more opportunity to make money. But like being an Olympian is the furthest thing from being lucrative, unless you're like insanely famous, like somebody like Michael Phelps or Simone Biles, Ali Raisman, you know, even Lori Hernandez. But even still, like they kind of found way more financial success outside of gymnastics. You know what I mean? Like, while I was training,
you have to have the endorsements. You have to have all that stuff. And like,
yeah.
I remember my brother, when he was in the WWE, was doing really well with Vince McMahon. It was hard as hell. And they treat you like a meat grinder. And none of us really enjoyed watching him go through that all those years. And Vince McMahon, I got to say, is whoops. Like, too fucking bad, pal. Goes around, comes around. And there's just stories that you hear, and there's more stories, and maybe they'll come out, but holy shit. And then when that's over, like, I think Paul went to, you guys gave us know this better than I do. He did El Rey Network with Robert Rodriguez. They did like that lucha thing.
Yeah.
And then after a while, like, I love my brother, but he's starting a wrestling school in Southgate, and he's got lessons and students, and it's great, but
it's awesome.
But it's touch and go when you're an athlete and you slowly move your way into the regular people life like me.
Yeah. I mean, I did have health insurance while I was on the team, while I was on like the national team and stuff. But then as soon as I retired, which I retired right after the Olympics in 2016, I think I had health insurance for like maybe a year, but then after that, I hadn't had health insurance until May of 2022. And the only reason why I got health insurance is because I actually joined Cirque du Soleil. So now I'm part of Cirque du Soleil, and then I get benefits through them.
Yeah. And the U.S. government wants you to have health insurance, and they will ding you.
Yeah.
If you do not have, like, yearly Geekscapists, if you do not have health insurance, and we have to buy our own health insurance. This is insane. Well, you were like, I know how to make a solid living. I'm going to go into acting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so
I knew I wanted
to be an actor even while I was still training. Like, even when I was a little kid, I just never did anything because like I was always told that I couldn't veer from my focus that was gymnastics, which is incorrect, you know, but it is.
You wanted to do them. Do you think that there is a world where you could have done them parallel, not to make a reference to gymnastics, but to do them in both careers where there's an amount of gymnastics going on? And I mean, fuck, you were at the Olympic level. That's demanding as hell. And and they were putting you through it. Beyond just endorsements and holding a cereal box, like actual acting, like you're doing here in Gunplay and Geekscapes, we're going to get to that. How would you make room for the classes, for the networking, for the
showcases? So the actual like work aspect of what it is to be an actor, I don't think you can do together, but I think that there is definitely a lot of room to do all of the prep, like to take the classes, to learn, to really like inform yourself what it means to be an actor and like just inform yourself about the industry, about cinematography and directing and editing and writing. Even if you're not going to be those things, that's kind of what I've been doing for the past since 2016, learning everything there is to learn about the industry to make myself a better performer. All around performer, you know, because then, especially when the majority of us actors will do indie films, do indie projects. And the best thing that we can do is honestly just have an understanding of like what is needed on set, because then everybody can be working way more efficiently and we can be on time and we can be under budget or on budget. And then it'll end up being a better project because if we need something else, then we can get it because we can afford it. Because like I said, we've done the thing, we've worked efficiently and, you know, and I guess it's just more things like, hey, they're setting the light up over here.
Well, just being a better collaborator, being a more conscious, aware collaborator for sure.
Exactly.
You don't want Tom Cruise yelling at you.
But it's true. That's been my absolute favorite part about being an actor, being a performer, is that whole aspect of collaborating. Because as a gymnast, although there was an aspect of it, but at the end of the day, no matter what, it's literally just you on that event doing your routine, and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, people can be like,
and is there creativity there? I mean, there's got to be creativity there and storytelling there that translate. I know that, speaking for my brother, he loves the storytelling of wrestling. And like, I see it. I'm like, okay. I mean, I see it. I see the beats. I see the turns and that stuff. I think he's a great storyteller. But is that part of what you're doing as well, is creating the storytelling in your routine?
No, honestly, and the only reason why I say no is because, like, everything, it's such a subjective sport, and everything has to be damn near perfect. Mm-hmm. That, you know what I mean? It's like, there's creativity in the aspect of, like, everybody's routine is going to be very unique, or at least sure. as unique as they are capable of doing. But you do the thing, you know, like, you have to, it's a very, like, old school mentality still. You have to follow very specific rules. You have to hit the specific marks. Wrestling is cool because there is a lot of improv in it, and like, you have to think on the fly, and it's awesome. Which, by the way, one of the people that I work with in the show, the Cirque show, he was also in the WWE. His name was, his real name is Barry Griffiths, but his Mason Ryan.
Paul would maybe, I mean, if my brother would probably be like, oh, I know Mason. You know, yeah. I had some good.
And
Barry and I, oh man, we were at a Wingstop once, and like, he has all these stories like that. And I got to tell you, what you're saying is true. And Geekscape, we'll segue into a gunplay like this. The reality of making a movie is hard. I literally was in a conversation today with someone looking for. An amount, I'm not going to say the dollar amount, but it's an indie. They were in one of the highest grossing movies this year as an actor. They were in Marvel stuff. Mm-hmm. The good Marvel, I mean, the good Marvel stuff, like the stuff that you were like, I like the Infinity stuff. Hey, listen, 12-year-old Jonathan, this kid right here in the Mickey Mouse shirt that I'm holding up in camera, he's just happy to be having comic book movies. You know, I'm there on Valentine's for Madame Web. Why? Because I just love comic book movies. I never thought in a million years we'd have these things. But this actor wants his script to come to life that has nothing to do with capes and superheroes. And to do that, he has to go the indie route. And what's crazy is this is on text. They were like, hey, I texted them because I met somebody last night who was looking to finance stuff in a certain bracket financially. And I texted them and they said, did you just cyclically do this? Because we were at the Saturn Awards and we said, Jonathan would be a good person to hit up about X. And I'm like, oh, we were thinking about each other, which is great. And Kismet, it's awesome. They've been on the show, Geekscape. You can do some research back in the feed and see who I'm talking about. But that being said, like, when you go indie, as my friend DJ Woolridge, maybe you've heard him, is going here with this gunplay thing. It's hard. It's really hard. And that's why we are here on Geekscape, to talk to the Geekscapists about helping DJ, who we love, who had a great Geekscape a few months ago, raise some money for this gunplay thing. So now, I'm sorry, DJ, Daniel was new. So I had to talk to Daniel. Mm-hmm. DJ one, and I had a DJ two, and I had to talk to him about this fascinating life he's had as a as an Olympian. And I will pause only to say that I think that I have a solution to mirror both the gymnastics and just listen to me. I got this. When you guys are done with gunplay, when it's a rousing success, you guys have gone to like Fantastic Fest with this and played at like Fantasia and all these cool genre film festivals and all this stuff. I know that you daydream about this stuff and it's going to happen. And Geekscape, you're going to help them get there on Kickstarter. You're going to search for gunplay and help them. You're going to follow this up. I can help with the next project. And D, you're ready. You're like perfect for this. It's going to marry gymnastics and acting and filmmaking. It's called Gymkata 2.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And we're gonna do a sequel to Gymkata.
Wow.
With you as the star.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think? I'm just pitching you, man, on the fly.
My favorite scene.
Gymkata 2? And Geekscape, you gotta know what Gymkata is.
I haven't seen the entire movie. But I've seen the scene where in the middle of nowhere, all of a sudden there's a pommel horse in the middle.
It's a fountain in town square. And Geekscape and he recently died, so like Kurt, what was the name of this wrestler or this gymnast? Wait, I don't want to say Kurt Angle
because it was
Kurt Thomas. So Kurt Thomas, Geekscapus, was Mary Lou Retton era, mid-80s. He was a handsome gymnast and some Hollywood producer, you know, right around the time that like No Retreat, No Surrender, right before like Van Damme and all these guys started popping off as karate and martial arts guys doing well and making movies. Somebody had the idea of let's take Kurt Thomas, the gymnast, and let's put him in a movie where he's doing martial arts, but it's really gymnastics and it's called Gymkata. And it's in Geekscape. If you're into like the Hunger Games, maybe just watch the Hunger Games, but plot wise, it's very similar to Gymkata, where they take the the gymnasts and all these different fighters from the world, and they put them in like a race to, I don't know, some series of, you know, there are people hunting them, whatever, like Hunger Games. And the ending, it, like you say, D, is in a town, like a Eastern European town, and in the town square is a fountain that looks like a concrete pommel horse, and he gets on that pommel horse and starts kicking people's asses.
And everybody's the good. Immediate logic is just like, nice, let's face first.
Let's run at him. The best guy who gets kicked in the face in that one is a dude who for some reason has a mask on the back of his head.
Incredible.
And when he gets kicked in the face, he goes face first, actual face, into a wall. And so the mask reveals itself, and you see the mask sliding down the wall because he's incredible. Dead. Gymkata 2. Mm-hmm. Are you in or are you out on this
idea? I'm in 100%.
I just feel like it can't just be Gymkata 2. I think you got to call it Gymkata 2000. Like, really, like, you know what I mean? Like to embrace the spirit, I feel like.
We have to. We have to. Yeah. That's so true.
Yeah.
Hollywood's been doing something different, though. They've been doing, listen to this. What about this one? This is a nice alternate. Gymkata Legacy.
Legacy, the classic. Yeah.
What are the other ones that Hollywood's been doing? They say Legacy 2000 Rebirth.
That's what I was going to say. Gymkata Rebirth.
Yeah. Have you seen that there's a freaking poster for another Jurassic World movie coming in 25?
Cool.
Like, did you see that?
Like, you know, why?
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
It, you know, what, you know, blows my mind. How many Jurassic Park movies have we had? What is it, six now?
I think we
haven't once done Ice Age animals. Like, saber-tooth tigers, mammoths. Ooh. Like, can you think of? You know what I mean?
Maybe that's the next one, DJ.
I mean, or why not?
Yeah, I'm in. I think that's a great idea. Saber-tooth tiger or woolly mammoth, let's go.
Yeah.
Isn't there literally a line in the first Jurassic Park where he's like, you were so focused on wondering whether you could, that, yeah.
Whether you should, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not taking your own advice, friends?
Never.
But if you're Universal.
Never.
No, but
if you're Universal and you've got that franchise, but you also have the Fast franchise, and the Fast franchise has clearly said, we got one more, the second part of X, and that's it. And you're looking and you're like, oh man, Dark Universe didn't work. We don't got you. The Monsterverse isn't really, like, we don't know how to, you know, maybe they're working on it now, but like, you gotta dance with the one who brought you.
Let me blow your mind. What about, hear me out, original movies? Hold on.
You need original to stay this. You need to stay out of this.
What are you talking about, DJ?
What did I just tell you?
No.
Stay out of this. You stay out of this, DJ.
Yeah.
We will only do movies that were successful. Original movies that were successful
30 years ago.
I'm going to hear what you said, and I'm going to have Vin Diesel jumping a Tyrannosaur on the poster. We're going to take both. We're going to take both franchises, and we're going to put them together.
That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen.
With the mummy and the mummy's chasing him.
I feel like I'm the only person on the planet that saw the trailer for the new Quiet Place movie. And my heart, like, this was such a perfect, like, one-off, like, Twilight Zone.
I didn't hate the sequel either. It was fine.
It's fine. It's fine. It was fine on its own. I didn't need more A Quiet Place. That was a fun little, more movies like that. Yeah. In that
it should be, it's less quiet now. It's like getting a little louder.
No, this one's just a straight up alien apocalypse movie. It's like, I don't understand.
Oh, it's like day one or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the thing was that I was literally, okay, so ironically, Alien, the first Alien, could have been a one-off and never again, and it would have been beautiful. Same thing with Friday the 13th. No, could have been a one-off. Even the second one, like, sure, good.
Yeah.
And we're done.
Yeah.
But like, you see so many franchises that start off with that exact formula. It's like, you have that one first movie that is just like, this movie's perfect. We're done, right? Like, nope, we're going to make fucking 10 more.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know if I can curse.
Yeah, we should.
Curse, please. Okay. Like, it makes the show more entertaining than what I could have offer. I've been doing this for 20 years, so nobody wants to hear my shit.
Because, like you, I love the superhero movies and stuff like that. I'm a little excited for Madam Web, but I like that. But I think it's a balanced diet, right? You need to be able to have a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. You need to be able to balance it out. And it's such there's become such everything's so extreme now in our culture. Mm-hmm. You know, like you have the people that have the money have all of the money. And then if you don't have money, you have none of the money. You know what I mean? Like, and it's similarly like everything's either.
We're not just talking about film at this point. We are talking, no, straight about the untaxed billionaires.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, right. it's just a very, there's not a lot of balance in our culture. And so I think I feel like as a fan of these things, as a fan of genre films, as a fan of comic book movies, as a fan of superheroes and stuff like that, I feel like there's a space for that, but you also want a healthy, and it's not that these movies don't exist. It's just, it's harder a lot of times to go straight to streaming where they're kind of like buried in the algorithm or, you know, or I'm lucky because I live in Los Angeles, so I'm able to go and see, like when The Killer, David Fincher's new movie, is in like 5 screens, I'm lucky that I live where one of the screens is and I can actually go see it in a theater. You know what I mean? It's very challenging. It's just not, it's not a healthy or I think a sustainable, environment. And it makes it challenging for, you know, like I feel like a movie like Gunplay is the type of movie that in a healthier environment would be easier to finance. But because of the place we're in, we have to go to go to Kickstarter, which is great because I love the community I built there. And I love interacting with my audience in that way. And it allows them a more personalized experience to be a part of it. But, you know, it'd be nice if Mr. Moneybags, the Argyle, I would need 1% of 1% of Argyle's budget and I could do everything I want.
Matty Vaughn, what are you doing? Come on, Matthew Vaughn. Love you, man.
It's a rounding error. The budget I want for Gunplay is a rounding error for
rounding Argyle. Error. It's the poster budget. Yeah. I remember having a studio tell us that they spent as much as we, I remember getting paid like a residual check for DVDs, even though I never saw a DVD. And I was like, oh, that's funny. And then I was like, where's the rest of it? And they were like, oh, we bought posters. I'm like, where are these posters? I didn't see. Send me a poster, please. It'd be cool to have a poster. Send me a poster. You guys made posters? No, we just said we paid for posters. Nobody ever saw a poster. But that stuff happens in Hollywood. And I think this is cool. And let's talk about Gunplay. Where did you get the idea of it? Because one of the influences I love, and you mentioned The Killer, and I love that poster they did for The Killer.
Yeah, great.
That felt like a Brubaker Phillips cover to Criminal. And Geekscapists have talked about Criminal. You guys got to go read Criminal if you love crime stories. That's one of the best comics around. What were some of the inspirations for Gunplay? And then let's talk about how it became like, I called it a triptych just because it's in thirds and they're interconnected.
Oh, you described it great, by the way. It was perfect. And I'm glad you mentioned Criminal because I actually don't get I kind of like to hit the stuff that like people, you know, and these are all influences, Good Time, Pulp Fiction, Big Lebowski. But I'm glad you mentioned Criminal because a huge inspiration was Criminal by Brubaker and Sean Phillips, but also David Lapham's Stray Bullets.
Motherfucker, you just said my shit. One of the only autographs I have ever driven to a comic book store to ask for is Dave Lapham drawing me a picture and give me an autograph. And it's somewhere in that office, hopefully not getting dripped on.
Yeah.
But Straight Bullets, that first Straight Bullets, when I read it in the 90s working in a comic store, that first issue of Straight Bullets is a perfect short story Geekscape. Straight Bullets is incredible.
That's one of the ones I came in Straight Bullets, started reading Straight Bullets when he brought it back.
Sunshine and Roses?
I think it was Killers. It was like, because it was like,
you want to come to my storage unit and find the originals?
Yeah. Well, I went back because they did a whole collection of the original run, and I read that first comic. I'm like, I gotta find. And fortunately, nobody else reads Stray Bullets, so I was able to get it for like a song.
Escape is that first story with the body in the trunk. You gotta go see this thing. It's perfect.
Reading those stories because you know you describe it as a triptych. You know we're talking about the shorts because each section, you know, people.
It's like, three shorts.
Is it like
combined into a film? Continue.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Is it like Grindhouse? Is like whatever. It's closer to something like Pulp Fiction, where each section kind of follows a different perspective and the characters interweave and they all connect in certain ways. But Stray Bullets, where you could like read any one of those issues and it's its own little standalone story, but you read them together and you get a fuller picture of the world. And I'm a sucker for, you know, another point of reference for video game fans like Grand Theft Auto. I'm a sucker for, like, you know, a world with a bunch of scumbags just trying to, like, make it, you know what I mean?
Planet Earth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's the world, you know,
the one we're stuck on.
Yeah.
One that we're like, glued to a rock shooting through vacuum.
Yeah,
we shouldn't exist. It's all chaos, brother. And you're somebody just putting a lens at it. And I like it. And Geekscape is, it's called Gunplay. He's raising 30K, but you can help him get there. 10K per short. Yeah. That's what they're trying to raise. You got some proof of concept footage you guys shot, I'm guessing in 2020, 2021. 2020. Maybe 2020. Yeah.
It was
literally. And you were like, we're rearing to go. It's going to be great. We're going to shoot this year. And then.
That's exactly right. Yeah, DJ2 remembers.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude. We were literally having the time of our life, dude. The entire crew was like four people.
Yeah.
Maybe five at some points, just because it was like, I remember Darian and I, and then I remember DJ, and I remember maybe Brooklyn, who was producing at that point.
And DJ, were you shooting a proof of concept, or you're just shooting the thing?
We were supposed to run the campaign. I wanted to run the campaign at the end of 2019, and then for logistical reasons, I decided to postpone. And I was like, if we're going to postpone, I wanted to have something to show for it. I just wanted to, in case, because crowdfunding is a crapshoot. You know, you roll the dice, you try to provide everything you can, you try to get the right people on board, you try to excite people, but you never know. And so I wanted to have something to show for it. Little did I know how prescient that was, considering, you know, literally, like, as we were filming, we were getting notifications of like, hey, everything's shutting down.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And we were starting to hear like, so we aren't really we're not supposed to be this close. So if you guys don't feel comfortable, I would understand. It was
knife play until the pandemic, and they had to go 6 feet across.
We were evaluating in real time, like, you know, how do we keep people safe? Like,
did we change the script? Did you rewrite it?
No, the only thing we did, one that's the other tricky thing too, is there's actually a scene I wanted to film with Darian and DJ too. Feels weird saying
DJ
two, just because it's, I was on the show.
It's
the
DJ time. One and DJ A.
Yeah. There we go.
Perfect. I like DJ two. It makes me think of Spider-Man. What is it? No Way Home. Peter one, Peter two, Peter three. Yeah,
there you go. And then
point to each other.
There was another scene I wanted to film with them, and then we couldn't do, the first day was raining, and so we couldn't do any exteriors.
Yes.
And so we're like, we'll pick it up another day. And then I think day two was when it was like, oh, okay, everything's shutting down for 3 weeks is what we were being told. And so we're like, okay, in three weeks, we'll come back. And now it's 4 years later. 4 years later, people are living in different states now.
Did you recast anybody?
Yeah. Everybody I reached back out to, I was like, since then I rewrote the script pretty significantly. Mm-hmm. I was very fortunate that everybody was like, yeah, on board, let's do it. And I was like, somebody's going to be like, no, get the hell out of here.
So DJ two is in one of the three shorts, and Geekscape is, if you put in $10 to this Kickstarter, you get to unlock a short. For every $10 after that, you unlock another short. And so for $30, you got yourself the whole movie. And that's basically you going out to the movie theater and getting yourself some popcorn. Yeah. So you order this thing. Is there a chance to see DJ2 maybe walking past in one of the other shorts or vice versa? Like, how do they kind of fit together? Do they reference each other verbally, or are they actually, maybe there's somebody who drives a car in one, drives it through a wall in another, or vice versa. You know, like, not, no spoilers, but like, how tightly wound are these? Because Pulp Fiction, you see them overlap quite a bit.
No spoilers, but there is quite a bit of overlap. I'd like to think each one kind of stands on its own, but they also stack pretty specifically too. In that, you know, if you're putting out $30, you're getting all three, and there's a reason you're getting all three.
Yeah.
And you won all three. Like, you feel like maybe somebody's gonna and you haven't filmed these yet. And Geekscape is that when you go and see this Kickstarter video that they've got, you want to go to gunplaymovie.com when you're listening to this, and go to gunplaymovie.com and it'll lead you to the Kickstarter. When you watch that video, you're going to be like, oh, it's done. Oh, where is it? Oh, I can't wait to see it. That is the proof of concept footage. And it's the same thing that in 2012, when we shot Hero of the Prophecy with my brother, and we were running around Simi Valley with minotaurs and swords and doing fantasy stuff.
That's awesome.
We put this stuff up on YouTube, and these wrestling fans were like, we can't wait for this movie to come out. And it was a proof of concept trailer. Yeah. And we were like, And I think that was the mistake, is that it was a shopping trailer. And it was like, and we also made a shopping trailer for something that was horribly expensive. It's pro wrestling fantasy.
Yeah.
From the effects of the stunts to the costumes to the not having people overheat in Simi Valley. That's an expensive effing project. This with gunplay, you can do it for 30 grand. Mr. DJ One?
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things with Kickstarter that I think, at least the question for me, I don't know if it's this is true for everybody, but it's always like, what is the least amount I can ask for and still provide the product I'm offering?
Well, what's up with that question? Hold on, what?
So you want to make sure, you want to pick a number that you feels achievable, but also feels like you can accomplish the goals. I would love it. It would make me very happy if we got past that goal, because the more that provides us an opportunity to do more.
Well, you can shoot trailers between the shorts.
Make glue scenes. You know, there's components of the movie that I would love to finance. This is the bare bones number. I pay my actors, I pay my crew. We get the
location.
Maybe you can
steal some locations.
You know what I mean? But the more we're able to finance, the better the final product will be. The more we'll be able to offer our contributors. But you're absolutely right in that I don't have. You know, I think a lot of times people have gotten used to, now that bigger names and bigger studios have started using Kickstarter, they're like, you know, a lot of these movies are like, well, you know, Amazon's already bought it, but we want to launch our money. And it's like, no, this is not, if you don't fund, it doesn't exist.
There's no angel investor coming in from like a studio to save DJ yet, but one thing
hopefully
that,
there is.
The crazy thing, remember Geekscapist when we did Dock of the Dead, and we actually had a failed Kickstarter, and like we had a pretty cool trailer. It had George Romero in it and Simon Pegg and all the people that were in the documentary. That Kickstarter failed, Geekscapist. Like, we strategically put it at the wrong time. Like, the Kickstarter ended like on Thanksgiving, and nobody was in front of their computers on Thanksgiving. There were their families. And I just remember the saving grace of that Kickstarter was that Epics, which is now MGM Plus, I found out, Epics was like, we want to make that movie. And we were so lucky because the Kickstarter ran aground. Yeah. And like, that's just a reality of this stuff. So Geekscape is like, I'm going to throw the Kickstarter up. If you're watching this on Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube, I'm going to throw the Kickstarter up on the screen. And we're going to walk a little bit through it, you know. But here we are. I mean, you're just shy of 10 grand. You're less than a third of the way through, and you've already raised about a third. And we're going to be raising this 30 grand, and you got the gunplay. It's a pretty cool Geekscape. If you are a fan of the pulp stuff, if you're a fan of the grindhousey stuff, there's some cool stuff in this. You got a great trailer. It talks about everybody wanting to do it. Our friend DJ2's in it. But then just going down the page, I love Sean Whalen. He was in the FP, man. Have you ever seen the FP?
Sean Whalen is incredible, man.
Sean Whalen's awesome.
The way he uses like his face and the way he says certain things, that like, he is super captivating. Like, I'm incredibly excited to be working with him.
Did you see his strike videos about what a character actor makes in the reality of being a character actor, when people were like, you're on Nickelodeon, why do you need more money? And his responses, I think it was on TikTok or something, like Sean Whalen, who I've been a huge fan of for a very long time, and I love this guy. And I think I got a chance to tell him on the strike lines, like, hey dude, your TikToks are freaking awesome, because he would address the common questions that actors and people in the creative fields were getting, which is like, don't you guys make enough money? And he would say, hey, listen, let me actually take my paycheck from that project you just referenced for Nickelodeon or somewhere else, and let me break it down into what I make and what I don't make. And Sean did it really really like neutrally and objectively and effectively.
Yeah.
And he's awesome. And again, I'm going to go back to our good friend, Jason Trost, who's been on the show several times for his series, The FP. You got to see The FP, man. Speaking of kickstarted projects, they shot that thing up in Fraser Park. It's about Dance Dance Revolution to the Death. And I think it's celebrating its like 10th year anniversary. Geeks gave us, it's a post-apocalyptic world where they settle their beefs, get rival gangs, settle their beef like Mad Max.
Yeah.
With DDR, and if you lose, you die. It's
hilarious.
FP, and there's been three or four, like two or three FPs after that. But you got to get into it. You got to start with that first FP. I think specifically DJ, you're gonna fucking love that. The FP, FP is great. And they got like booed out of South by Southwest or something. But fuck those fans. Like the movie's awesome. Okay, I'm going down this Kickstarter. We got Sean Whalen. He's a new reward. You can get some signed stuff. You get these different stories. You're in a short called Near Mint. Where there's a gay porn, you play a gay porn star. Is it gay for pay? In the video it says gay for pay, but I think you're just gay in this, or what? What's the story on this?
No, he's not. And that's kind of like the whole, that's like a really big aspect of the character. And I don't want to give any spoilers,
okay.
But no, he's not at all.
Only on camera, only for the film. He's a porn star.
You can, DJT, you can tell me how you think about this. I don't think he perceives himself as gay.
So, yeah, no, yeah. not at all. He's definitely like, it's so like transactional to him in that aspect that like it doesn't even correlate in his mind. He's just like, well, this is just what I'm doing for money, man. Like, what are you talking about? You know, and it's like, it doesn't even like in his mind, it doesn't, those two things do. He's also very dumb, you know, which is okay.
Sure.
Blissfully so,
but it makes him susceptible to somebody coming along like Les and saying, hey, can you help me rob this this rich king, like this kingpin's son? That's that short is you guys conspiring and making a plan to rob somebody. And then we've got the three pigs one, and then you've got one for the money shot, the third short, and it's all about, you know, crime and guns and maybe some drugs, and you guys all trying to get this rich kingpin's kid to get his comeuppance. What's cool too is you guys have, as a Kickstarter exclusive, these kind of cool VHS style prints, and there's some pins that I like. I love the pins. I love the masks. But dude, who did the art for these fake VHS like pulp mag covers?
So much, man.
Those are so, when those popped up on your social media, I was like, oh damn. And this Sean Peacock poster, it's beautiful.
Yeah, Sean Peacock did the poster. He's an artist I've been collaborating with on another project, and so I reached out to him to see if he would do the poster, and I've had the idea for this poster for a very long time, because all the shorts take place on the same night, Halloween night, and I wanted to capture that in the poster. And the VHS prints, you know, that's the beauty of Kickstarter. It's all homemade, baby. So those are photographs taken by a variety of people. I think two of them are by Cam, and one of them is by me. But I put those together. I put those together myself.
That was your graphics? They look great, man.
So I even, because I didn't want to get dinged for anything, I wanted to capture, there's a tactile feel from I think, you know, we're all on different age spectrums, but we all remember those VHS.
What are you saying? Going to the, you call me old?
Yeah. No, I
call them beta tapes. No,
I was actually going to say we're kind of closer on the same, but then Danelle's a little younger than us.
It's done you.
Sorry. DJ2.
It's DJ2.
Yeah, sorry. We all remember going to Blockbuster, and I even made those, the stickers that are on them, because I didn't want to get, you know, everybody has their own like little designs or whatever. I didn't want to get dinged. I didn't want to take somebody else's work. But yeah,
these look like mom and pop VHSs. Like that's my age group, Geekscapists. Is I remember before Kickstarter or before Blockbuster rolled into town and put all those mom and pop shops out of business. I remembered these tapes like this. And I remember that weird door with the beads that led you to the good stuff in the back.
Yeah. So it was one of those, I wanted to kind of, I like having physical rewards. I kind of want to recreate that vibe. Well, we don't really have physical media, mostly just because it's just, it takes away from our budget. I want every dollar to go into the movie itself. But I still wanted to provide that kind of physical, tactile thing. And, you know, it's interesting now with Kickstarter, they make you tick a little box that's like, hey, is there any AI in this project? And I can guarantee you there is not. Every
part
of me or artists that I paid and collaborated with. And to me, that's part of the beauty. I mean, it's a challenge for me. It's a challenge, sure. But for the audience, hopefully it's kind of like a, you know, it's as close as you get, in this kind of field to something like handmade.
No, after that AI stuff, like, honestly, it's not worth it. It's just like, you didn't get into this to cheat. No. You know, like if you're a storyteller, like I'm a storyteller and you like the tactile feel of doing this stuff. And I was reading about, I'm not going to mention the movie. You guys are going to think I'm a biggest effing film snob, but I'm writing a script for, he's been on the show before, Chris White. He made that amazing movie, Electric Jesus, 2 years ago, and we're working on a film to work on. And as I'm writing the script, I'm just sending a reference to movies, like, da, da, da. One of them is really snobby, but I'm reading up on the movie, and it was shot on this really specific film in 1960s. Mm-hmm. And you see it, you see the tactile nature of that film, and I'm sure it can be replicated digitally. But for a second, I was like, that shit still exists. Mm-hmm. Is that something I can shoot on? Because, like,
I'm on it. If you got the money.
When I shot on Gay by Dawn, like, I would say that when I shot Gay by Dawn, and we shot that on Super 16, or the Reggie and the Full Effect video, there's some of the things I've shot on Super 16. The money I'm going to tell you, I think some of it's a lateral move, because when you shoot digitally, sometimes you're not so tight with the schedule. And when you shoot on film, I think you actually twist the screws a little harder and you say, you have to economize it. You will roll out of shit, and no one's running to the shop to get you more film on that stuff. And I actually miss some of it. You know why I'm saying this is because I was in the damn storage unit this past weekend trying to save stuff from the floods. And I was like, what am I doing with all of this, like, 16 millimeter and 35 millimeter film from projects from 10 years ago or 20 years ago? And I can't give it up, Geekscapists. Like, I'm not a hoarder, but the film, I don't. And I've rescanned all of it.
Yeah.
All of it's been digitally rescanned. It's all on a hard drive at the perfect same digital quality as the film, but I can't get rid of the film.
I keep that film.
It still smells beautifully. Like, fuck no.
Man, like, I just literally, I know nowhere near as, like, you know, cool Gold. As a Super 16, but, like, I bought a Polaroid camera not that long ago, and there's nothing like taking a picture and then just, like, having it. Like, sure, you can find a filter on your phone and on app, and you can edit it to make it look similar, but, like, there's just nothing like it, man.
The chemical process will do it. I mean, and honestly, like, digital's gotten so great, but I remember having to explain it to film students, and I'm like, okay, like, ones and zeros are like, you're building them like, it's like 8-bit, and then 8-bit becomes 16-bit, and 16-bit, you're still doing ones and zeros. That's why, like, those are, like, 20 years ago, when you had a movie like Once Upon a Time in Mexico, I just remember seeing the explosions in that, or the shadows in whatever that gangster movie is that Michael Mann made with Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And when you saw but you see, like, the explosions.
Was it L.A. Noir?
L.A. Noir was L.A. Noir was the dude who did Zombieland. When you see the explosions 20 years ago, when you saw, like, the explosions, it had that white blob in the middle because the ones and zeros would max out. Or in that Michael Mann movie, when you see shadows, it'd just be this black blob because it just bottoms out, Geekscapes. And those are filmmakers who are awesome.
Yeah.
But the digital had an extent. Now I think there's none. Now I think it's beautiful and replicable. That being said, like, I'm holding on to that film because it's future-proofed. Like, it can always be rescanned. Like, I love it. And it's romantic to me. It's romantic. But I'm looking here at this budget summary, and Geekscape is why you want to go to gunplaymovie.com and invest in this if you like everything you're hearing is 70% of it goes to production costs.
Yeah.
10% of it goes to the campaign fees of putting this whole thing on Kickstarter. 20% of it goes to making and fulfilling the rewards that go to you. At no point am I seeing too much of this. Yeah, there's cast, crew, they get fed and this and that, but it sounds like you're really cutting it thin on this thing and making sure that the what these kids pay for ends up in front of their eyes, man. I commend you on that stuff. Looks good. $30,000. Okay, man. I think you're gonna make it.
Thank you.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. just got to keep pushing. Keep pushing that rock up that hill.
When do you want to shoot this thing? Let's talk.
Once every time, I got to get this thing funded first.
You got to get it funded, but like
funded first.
I also when can we expect our film? But like, when do you want to shoot? Is this something you want to shoot over the summer?
I also think IATSE starts their contract negotiation. I want to say in July. So you know, let's say we find. I want to kind of not that I think our we'll be able to afford a union crew, but you know, I'd still want to like maybe beat that clock. You know,
have you ever gotten flipped? Had your shoot flipped?
No.
Fucking horseshit.
I
tell you the story. We're shooting during 08, 07, whatever. There wasn't a writer's strike. There was a IATSE strike. Escape is we're shooting a promo for a major conglomerate. This is Viacom. We're shooting a promo. It was a commercial. Mm-hmm. And we were shooting and I had my camera crew. And they were all in the union, and they sent these guys, these free guys, Geekscapists. And it was up here off of Magnolia or somewhere. And I remember these guys showing up, and they had texted my DP, and who now shoots TV shows. And he said, and they said, if you don't walk at lunch, we're going to kick you out, you and your guys. And I remember them being like a shift of energy on set, and my DP, who I love, is just like, man, I'm really sorry about this, John. I was like, what's going on? And my producer came to me and was like, I'll handle it. And it cost us more money because we did turn it into a union shoot, as I think we should have. We had to pay a day of health care and stuff like that. But man, I'll tell you this. You want to talk about gunplay. The guys they sent to stand across the street and stare at us, DJ, were like, you're going to use them as extras. They were in these suits, these low red suits, and they looked like Heidi's rewatching The Sopranos. Yeah. And I have to do a double take to make sure that they weren't these dudes. They were sitting there across the street, and they're like, if you don't do this, we're going to kick you out of the union, break your legs, break your knuckles. And like they flipped the shoot. Yeah. And it was a one-day shoot. It's fine. They flipped the shoot. I've heard of people getting 15-day, three-week, one-month shoots flipped. It's not pretty, man. They send the guys who look like Sopranos to fight people. I'm serious. They'll do it, DJ.
Yeah.
You better shoot before July.
When you're talking about DJ 2's talking about, when you're talking about like four people on set, you know, that's not flipping.
Who's going to defend you? Yeah. Daniil's going to defend you. Daniil, go fight those guys.
Yeah, dude. Let's go. Yeah.
They're going to show up with their pipes and their crowbars and be like,
but hey, listen, man. Maybe you know. Maybe we fund enough. Maybe I'll be able to afford a union crew. I love supporting unions. So
what you got
to
do is not do that. Keep the cameras running, and then film those guys beating up your dudes, and that's part of the crime movie.
Film those guys breaking my legs. Great.
Break the bread nice. Legs. Yeah. Can you afford a flex budget?
Yeah.
You got health insurance. Just let them break your legs, and then, but make sure it's filmed.
Yeah.
You got an effects budget? No effects budget. Just let them do that. What sacrifice for your art, man? Let the union break your legs. The guys they send you, man. Yeah. You're going to see. You'll see.
By the way,
I'm going to make the phone call, tip them off. These guys are shooting down the street. I don't think they're union.
I have to say, since you know, you were going through the Kickstarter page, and I don't, DJ, I don't even think, DJ One, I don't think I've told you this. I was just talking to myself for a second. DJ One, I don't know if I've told you this. All the things that you've made, the posters, the like VHS things,
the titles, now,
like the pins, titles. It's making me even more of a fan of this project than what I already was. Like I read the script and I was like, there's no way I'm not like I can't avoid being a part of this. Like there's no way. Yeah. And then now seeing all of this incredible, like love and effort that you've put into making even just like the promo stuff. Like I can't wait to be a part of like making this thing. Because it's just going to be amazing, dude. It's going to be so beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, bad news, DJ 2, because there is a way you can't be a part of it, and that's that the Geekscapists don't roll out and help fund it. You hear that, Geekscapists? Go check out this gameplay movie.
You got to get out there.
But yeah, this guy, DJ 2, is going to go crying.
But yeah, it's you know, I learned early on that with Kickstarter, you want to try and, you know, you don't want to necessarily spoil everything, but you want to treat your backers like investors, and you want to help them understand the vibe, and you want to kind of sell what interests you about it. And I'm very lucky that you know, I already have this talented cast that wants to be a part of it. And so I think we had to piecemeal it out. So like some of the pictures are taken by our director of photography, Ken. Some of the pictures are taken by me. Those are unfortunately the worst ones. Sorry, everybody.
It all looks uniform. It all looks like the vibe, though. You put it all to the same, it all has the same vibe, dog.
Yeah. So I'm very lucky to have incredible collaborators. I'm very excited to work with DJ2. He did really great work on the proof of concept we shot. Darian, Mina, Roxy. If you know, guys are familiar with my previous work, you'll probably know Steve Zaragoza, Whitney Moore, and Bri Esterig. I think people will really be into it if you back it, if you support it. I think, you know, we don't get an opportunity to get a lot of movies like this anymore, and you definitely won't get the kind of peek behind the curtain you're going to get if you back it, because we're going to keep you updated. We're going to let you know what this process is like, and you'll be in the weeds there with us. And so I think that's the beauty of Kickstarter, is that community and that ability to be more a part of the process. I mean, literally, you can also, you can be a part of the movie. There's a tier where you can have a part in the movie itself, or be a producer, get your name on IMDb. There's a lot of cool stuff.
Geekscape, I don't know what else to tell you. We don't get to Gymkhana Legacy if you don't do get this yeah. gun, this gunplay.
The road to Gymkhana Legacy starts here.
Yeah. Like, would you do it? I'm being real. Like, DJ,
would I do it?
Yeah, because we had the producer Kickboxer and like the guy who created Kickboxer. Like, we had him on the show. Of course, you guys, Geekscapists, remember that? Like, that's adjacent to Gymkhana. We could make some phone calls and get the rights to maybe some Gymkhana sequels. I'm sure they're really expensive.
If DJ's a part of it at all. Even just like just writing
a script. He plays a farmer who fights you in this town square.
Amazing.
He throws a cabbie at
you. He's going to be the big boss because he's going to look like he's twice my size. If he's involved in it at all, I'm in, man. I'm in.
Okay. You're going to rip a log apart like Steve Rogers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just, yeah. I wanted to.
Make this badass. Yeah.
And if it's dependent on my involvement, I have no pride. If you give me a paycheck, I'll do it.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. Have you got this guy on social media? His name is Thorin Bradley.
That sounds familiar. What's his deal?
First of all, he's incredibly hot, and all he does is just chop wood, but it's just the way that he does it. And he does the Steve Rogers thing every once in a while. He just
rips a fucking log up in half. Dude,
like,
God bless, man.
And he's got like a beautiful beard. Like, he's, yeah, it's really.
Is he like the mountain from Game of Thrones? You've seen that dude, of course.
Like, no, he's not. He's just like stuff. No, he's just like a strong guy. He's not like huge. He's just like a strong guy, and he's like really kind. He's a
Have you been DMing with this guy? Do you know this guy personally? Because he could be.
No, I would love. No, Legacy. I'm intimidated by him in like a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can you send him a DM over the weekend, see if he's down for Gymkhana Legacy? I mean, I know we still got Gunplay to do, but like, I'm thinking about the Geekscape Productions brand and like making a. I got to start making like a assembly line of products here of projects.
Yeah. Whole connected universe. That's how we
can do this. Yeah. Like, let's start working on Gymkhana Legacy.
Okay.
Let's hit up that guy, Thorin Oakenshield.
Thorin Bradley, but okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I like Oakenshield better.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Hobbit. let's get him on board.
Yeah.
And, right? And let's have him rip a human in half, though, in the movie.
Yeah.
It'd be sick.
Duh.
Yeah.
And then DJ, you got, okay, we can do this. Okay. So, Geekscape, you have your mission. Mm-hmm. You got to go to this Kickstarter. It's gunplaymovie.com. Go to the Kickstarter. Help us get the gunplay done so that the DJs can go to work.
Yep.
Because right after that, we're going to reward you with a little thing called Kickstarter. Joe's doing so well. Gymkhana Legacy.
Yeah.
I love the cease and desist I'm going to get from whoever owns the 12-cent value Gymkhana brand. It was like, you son of a bitch. I was going to make a gym
product. They're going to love the buzz you're giving them.
I was going to say, they're going to be so excited. They're going to be like, oh.
I get Google alerts. Now it's my time.
This whole podcast is the process of me aging myself with these references. People are like, what the hell is Gymkhana? And then they're like, holy shit, that's an old movie. But it's quality. And you don't get Hunger Games without Gymkhana. You probably do. You probably don't get it without Most Dangerous Game, the short story. But Gymkhana. Yeah.
Or
Surviving the Game with Ice-T. They're all the same genre. Judgment Night.
I mean, can we just look at the Can we just look at the, the poster?
Yeah, man. You start practicing to fight people on a rope bridge, homie. Gymkhana legacy is going to happen. Anything else you guys want to add? What are these social medias that you guys, where can we find you? Where can we learn more about this? DJ, we saw the gunplaymovie.com, but what's your DJ One? What is your social media?
You can find me at DJ Talks Trash. I do this podcast, Only Stupid Answers. You can find that wherever podcasts are. But seriously, gunplaymovie.com. Please go there. Please check it out. Please support it if you can. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. And Danit, where can we find you?
I'm on Instagram. I'm
headbutt you through the screen.
Daniel J. Leva. But I get, like, you can follow me there. I do Twitch streams as well. I do like video game stuff. But yeah, more importantly, I would prefer that you go to gunplaymovie.com and back that instead of following me or doing anything. Just we want to get this made very, very badly.
Geekscape is, the good thing is you can follow them and go to gunplaymovie.com.
Do both things.
And it's going to be awesome. And then you'll be right there where you're supposed to be when news of Gymkhana Legacy comes down the pipe. Geekscape is, you know where to find my ass. We're here at Geekscape. We got 35 shows, I think, on the network now. Matt Kelly and I, every time Matt Kelly and I meet and talk about like what the state of the network is, he's like, I'm going to add this show. He just added this show. Yeah, okay. It's young adult novels. So it's a very popular book vertical, and we got a show all about it. And I think I want to promote that in the next episode or two. I've got some more people waiting to do some Geekscape, so I'm super excited about it. We got some huge news coming very soon about a lot of things, but I just appreciate you guys listening. If you want to hang out between the episodes, listen to other Geekscape shows, or go to Geekscape Forever on Facebook, or you can do a million other things. We're on all the socials. Just search for Geekscape and you'll find us. Thank you guys so much for listening or watching. And again, gunplaymovie.com is where you can donate to this amazing Kickstarter with our amazing friends. It was great getting to know you, Daniel, and it was awesome having you on the show again, DJ.
Thanks for
love you, man.
Of course. Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
Geekscapers, don't hate, create. Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.